This morning on Wake Up with Hope, Elizabeth Talbot from Jesus 101 will be sharing a devotional thought, and we'll have a special prayer session with our good friends from the Let's Pray team.
Plus, we will have an encouraging segment on self-esteem. Stay tuned. You're not going to want to miss a thing. Good morning and welcome to Wake Up with Hope. You know, we're so glad you have chosen to join us this morning.
Over 8 billion people share this planet with us. People from all different cultures, backgrounds, countries, races, and ethnicities. Some of us are tall, some of us are a bit shorter, and some of us have blonde hair, some have black hair or brown hair. In this world, we have an incredible amount of diversity.
And today is World Day for Cultural Diversity for Dialogue and Development. You know, it's a day to celebrate and appreciate the cultural diversities between different countries, states, and people in the world. And though we are all different in one way or another, God has made each one of us. In fact, in Him, we are all one big family. You know, what a beautiful thing to celebrate.
Absolutely. Take some time today to learn about a different culture or country and its people, and try something different as you practice appreciating someone different from you.
And as we learn to appreciate the different cultures and people God created, we can also gain a greater appreciation for a loving God. Let's talk more about some of this as we begin our program today with what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history in 1932, exactly 5 years after American aviator Charles Lindbergh became the first pilot to fly a plane nonstop across the Atlantic Ocean, Amelia Earhart accomplished the same feat and became the first pilot to do so. She flew over 2,000 miles in less than 15 hours, landing in Ireland. Earhart was known as the first female to cross the Atlantic Ocean in an aircraft just a few short years earlier. Unfortunately, in 1937, she attempted to fly a plane across the world along with another pilot, but they got lost. As they sent radio messages that they were lost and low in fuel, their plane eventually disappeared and they were never to be seen or heard from again.
Friend, have you ever been lost or even low on fuel? Low on patience, low on hope, or satisfaction with life? Well, during these times, you can send messages to God in heaven. Pour out your heart to Him. Tell Him your thoughts. After all, He already knows how you feel. But it is as you talk with Him that He will draw near and reach out His hand to pull you up, to fill you with hope, with joy, with love. And you can start right now. Today, by talking to Him as the friend He truly longs to be.
Amen, friends. Well, we are all so precious in the sight of God, highly valued, yet sometimes it may be difficult for us to realize and understand our true value. The Incredible Journey returns today with a special segment on self-esteem.
Do you know the one thing everyone in the world struggles with? It's something that bothers all of us, and we may not even know it. Have you ever felt that you were not good enough? Have you ever been plagued by self-doubt? Are you constantly putting yourself down? Do you feel defeated by events in your life? Do you constantly compare yourself to others and come up wanting? Do you feel inferior to your friends and family? Do you constantly replay regrets in your life? Do you have a negative self-image of your body? Do you find yourself thinking, I'm too fat, I'm too ugly, I'm not good enough, I'm not good at that, and feel that no matter how hard you try, it's still beyond your reach? Well, you are not alone. We all have these feelings at some time in our lives. That's why a positive self-esteem is so very important. It can determine our approach to life. It defines our sense of self-worth and personal value. But what does this really mean? Well, it basically is confidence in one's own worth or abilities. Are you happy being you? Your appearance, emotions, relationships, beliefs, behaviors, goals, and purpose in life. Now, everyone goes through periods of low self-esteem when they feel overwhelmed with life and question their own value and self-worth. It's a constant battle in life, but what is important and what really counts is whether you can work through these negative feelings and find a way to deal with them. So, what are some of the signs that you may be suffering from low self-esteem? Some of the habits you might develop for coping with low self-esteem and anxiety could be nail biting, pulling hair out, obsessive behaviors, constantly saying negative things, or even self-harm and using drugs. Then there are destructive feelings of unworthiness that overwhelm us when they replay in our minds. We can worry too much about what has happened in the past or what might happen in the future, and so let it destroy the present. It can be hard to appreciate what is here and now. We can look for ways to spend our time building a better you, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Remember, it's our choice how we think, how we act, and how we respond to every situation. Now, here's something well worth thinking about. Did you know that there was war in heaven? It's almost inconceivable to think it could happen. It was a battle between God and the beautiful leading angel Lucifer, who wanted to be God. The Bible records how Lucifer was thrown out of heaven and now directs his attention to deceiving and destroying the people on earth. It's a war for allegiance and control of the minds of every man, woman, and child on planet earth. And creating low self-esteem is one of the most effective tactics that Satan uses to tear you down. His greatest desire is to damage and destroy our lives. And he uses many nefarious ways to make us feel inadequate, unworthy, undervalued, and separated from God's love. Whereas God wants us to feel loved. He wants us to feel special. One of the best ways to overcome low self-esteem is to read the Bible and start believing what God says about you. Do you know what God thinks about you? Well, here it is. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. God also says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. When you don't feel like you're good enough, when you are feeling low, remember these five things. I'm lovable. I'm valuable. I am significant. I am forgivable. And I am capable. Positive self-esteem is not something you have and then it is with you always. Remember, your thoughts determine your feelings, and your feelings determine your actions. It's something you have to work on every day of your life. Why not try going on a journey with God and let Him show you your real worth? You are so special to God that He was willing to give up everything just for you. Now, if you are suffering from low self-esteem, there are a lot of professionals out there who are able to help you, like Lifeline and Beyond Blue. But there are a few general suggestions on developing positive self-esteem. One, recognize that when you are feeling poorly about yourself, you can do something about it. Two, look for ways to improve what you can change in your life. Three, take responsibility for your choices. Small choices can have a big impact. 4, don't dwell on regrets. The past can't be changed. Look to creating a more positive future. 5, have a purpose in your life that gives meaning to your life. And 6, have a belief in God, read the Bible, and stay true to following His moral code.
Have you felt a little stressed or anxious lately? In 1 Peter 5, verse 7, God reminds us to cast all of our anxiety on Him because He cares for us. And today, we have a special prayer session from the Let's Pray team as we focus on leaving our stress and our anxiety at the feet of Jesus.
Peter 5, 7 through 8 says, "Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Be alert and sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." Oh boy, that's a lot, right? We're going to cast all our cares and anxieties on Him through prayer together. Right now, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for another chance to be together as a community, Lord, and I ask that You would forgive us, Father, first and foremost. Thank You, Father, that we're forgiven, and I ask that You would refresh us with Your forgiveness, allowing it to lighten our load, Heavenly Father, because Your yoke is easy and Your burden is light. So we cast, literally throw our anxieties on You at Your feet, Father. We were never meant to carry that stuff in our person. We were always meant to carry it to You, even with one another, Jesus. When we bear one another's burdens, Father, we bear them to You because You're the only one, Father, who's able to hold them, who's able to not be crushed by them, who's able to heal and bring whatever is needed, Jesus. And in a world full of stress and anxiety, You're the peace that we need. We can call on You because You care for us, Heavenly Father. We can be wise to the enemy's schemes, alert and sober of mind, Heavenly Father. That doesn't mean that we want to overly focus on Him or we want to give Him any credit, Jesus, but we do, Lord. We want to be wise. We want to understand, Heavenly Father, what His voice sounds like, what the accusation and the lies of the accuser sounds like, Jesus, versus Your loving and Your kind voice, Father. Because there's now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, Lord. And so for those who are under stress and anxiety today, worried about schedules, worried about families, worried about finances, Lord, real, tangible things that are going on in our lives, Lord, that really are a struggle. Whatever those things are, Jesus, I pray that we would cast them at Your feet. And that every time the enemy tries to get us or our flesh wants to try to manage all the outcomes, Jesus, and pick it back up, I pray that You would remind us with Your sweet Holy Spirit, lay it back down. But Jesus, I just want to, He says, let Me handle it. I'll tell You when to move. I'll tell You what you need to do. I will open that door. I will close that door. Thank You for Your sovereignty over our lives and the fact that You don't need us to handle all Your stuff, Jesus, because You're able. Your grace is sufficient for us today. So, Father, I pray that we would be wise to every way the enemy attempts to pull us out of peace and that we would stand firm in the name of Jesus, putting on the full armor of God, praying in the Spirit at all times in the name of Jesus, and that we would stand, therefore, as the Word of God says. Jesus, thank You for Your holy fortitude, not to just go and do, but Your holy fortitude to simply stand. Father, like Nehemiah did, when Sanballat tried to get him to pay attention to things that had nothing to do with what You wanted accomplished, Lord, had nothing to do with building Your kingdom, was chatter from the outside, Heavenly Father, I pray that You would help us to be clear and to be focused, and to not participate with anxiety, to not participate with stress. And in every way where we have said, oh, I have anxiety today, which I have said so many times in my life, Lord, I pray that You would forgive us, that we would no longer agree with what the enemy says over us, Lord, that if we are dealing with anxiety, Lord, that You'll guide us, You'll teach us, You'll help us, If we need to talk to somebody, we'll go talk to someone. If we need something, you'll guide our steps. You'll never leave us or forsake us, Heavenly Father. But I pray, Lord, that we would choose peace, because you said it's peace you give, not like the world gives. And I thank you for that, Lord. And later in 1 Peter, it says that after we have suffered a little while, you yourself will perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle us. So even in the midst of this struggle, we have a promise from you that you yourself will perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle us, according to 1 Peter 5:10. And I thank you for your promises, Lord. Right in the middle of stress and anxiety, Lord, we choose peace as a stance of fortitude. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Oh, I pray that you're encouraged and that you're feeling a little bit of that holy fortitude in your day today. If you started out shaken, I pray that you are settled in the name of Jesus. Remember, he's with you, and we'll see you next time.
If you're enjoying today's show, share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more. And search for us on YouTube to check out our YouTube channel and keep up with us.
We have to take a quick break now, but when we return, we'll have today's devotional thought from Jesus 101. Stay right with us. We are so glad you've chosen Wake Up with Hope to start your day. Welcome back.
And as promised, this morning we have Elizabeth Talbot from our friends at Jesus 101 who will be sharing this morning's devotional thought.
Hello, everyone. Elizabeth Talbot here. I'm so excited because today we start a new mini series entitled Fear Not. These are different times in which God says, do not fear. And today we are studying Fear Not, Dead Ends. And we will go through the event of the opening of the Red Sea. This is an event that has captured even Hollywood. Remember that old movie, 1956, with Charlton Heston, The Ten Commandments, and those special effects that opened the Red Sea. But what does this event have for our hearts in this moment when we are facing dead ends in our lives? Well, please come with me to Exodus chapter 14. We have left Egypt, have left slavery. We have been delivered by the blood of the Lamb. They are on their way to the promised land, and then something happens. Chapter 14 of Exodus, start on verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, tell the sons of Israel to turn back and camp before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea. You shall camp in front of Baal-Zephon, opposite by the sea. So God says, yeah, you're on your way, but turn back. Come back. And you're going to camp in a no way out situation. Mountain, mountain, sea. You cannot go forward. These are the dead end situations sometimes we face. And they faced a big one that will be repeated throughout the Bible because they always remembered this event. There was no way out. And God said in chapter 14, verse 4, that this way, the Egyptians will know that he is God. There was going to be a purpose for his glory in this dead end. Pharaoh is going to think that they are wandering aimlessly, says in verse 3. And it worked. That's what Pharaoh thought. And he said, what have we done? We have lost cheap labor. We have to go after them. And it says on verse 6, Pharaoh made his chariot ready and took his people with him, and he took 600 select chariots. These are like the SWAT team, right? And all the other chariots of Egypt. He took everyone and officers on the chariots. He was going to go after them to get them back to work for him. And in the meanwhile, these people are camped by the sea. They cannot go back. They don't have a way out. Have you ever felt that way? With no way out? In your life? Well, this is where they are, in a dead end. And when they see Pharaoh coming with all the army, the 600 choice chariots, plus all the other chariots and all the officers, they are terrified. And we read here on verse 10, as Pharaoh drew near, the sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they became very frightened. They became terrified. And they had three questions, because sometimes we have questions during those dead ends in our lives. And they have three questions. And they say, Why have you dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt? And they have another one. Is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? And the third one, is this not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. Oh, they say, why have you done this? Why don't you care? We're dying. What's going on? Maybe you and I can, you know, relate to those questions when we meet dead ends. But you see, this is a human perspective. We get terrified because we're seeing it through human eyes. But God has a different viewpoint. And God's viewpoint starts on verse 13. Moses said to the people, do not fear. Here we have our word. Fear not, our little sentence. Fear not, do not fear. Stand by, or take your stand, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again. This is a play of in words of see and not see. The Egyptians whom you have seen, you will not see again, and you will see the salvation of the Lord instead. I'm going to change your focus, says God. And then verse 14, a wonderful verse. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. They were to take their stand and wait for the Lord to fight for them. You see, sometimes we are part of the battle, even though the battle is always the Lord's, because he sometimes uses us as instruments. But every once in a while, we're in dead end situations, no way out. And in those situations, God says, stand by and watch me. I will fight for you. And this is one of those situations. And then he says, verse 15, to Moses, tell the sons of Israel to go forward. Forward where exactly? There is no forward. And that's because God was going to do something different, because he makes a way where there is no way. And we are told that he achieved that. Chapter 14, verses 21 and 22. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord swept the sea back by a strong east wind all night and turned the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. And the sons of Israel went through the midst of the sea on dry land, and the waters were like a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Even the Egyptians acknowledged that the Lord was fighting against them for Israel, right? So you can read that on verse 25. And after the whole thing is done, Israel saw the salvation that God had done for them. You can read this at the end of the chapter. And then they started this amazing celebration. In most Bibles, chapter 15 is called the Song of Moses, but really the song is about Yahweh, the Lord, and all that he has done and how he has redeemed his people. There's even a very interesting note at the end of the song on verse 20 that says that Miriam the prophetess, Aaron's sister, took the timbrel in her hand. And that's my question. Who packs the timbrel, right? When you're going to cross the desert, who says, oh yeah, I got to pack a timbrel? Well, somebody that is expecting a big achievement from God, something so extraordinary that they have to celebrate. And it says that Miriam took the timbrel in her hand, verse 20, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dancing, and they were singing this amazing victory of God. Well, it's interesting because this song is actually a metaphor of salvation. When we get to the last book of the Bible, chapter 15 of the book of Revelation, we find again in verses 2-4, the song of Moses. But this time it says that is also the song of the Lamb, because the Lamb is the one that has achieved our deliverance to the promised land. So are you facing an impossibility today? Are you in a no way out situation? You know, God actually specializes in impossibilities, of which our salvation cost him the most. It cost him the blood of the Son of God. And he died for us to make a way where there was no way. And he says now, go forward. Go forward. Because there's no dead end situations for God. And the challenge is, why don't you start celebrating now with your timbrel, even before you cross the sea? Because the truth is, That's the assurance that we have, that God is not going to leave us in a dead end, that he will say, go forward. Even if the sea is right in front of you and it looks like a dead end, God says, go forward, because I make a way where there is no way. And the fact that this song, the song of Moses in Exodus 15, becomes the song of Moses and the Lamb in Revelation 15 to show that it was a metaphor of our salvation, reminds you that there is nothing that you can face that God cannot handle or make a new way for. So remember, they're not dead ends for Him. He says, go forward.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth.
And friends, thank you so much for spending this time with us this morning. And if you would like to learn more about our program or share us with a friend or even rewatch some part of today's program again, visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And please don't forget to wake up with us tomorrow morning. We'll be talking about the Oregon Trail, sharing an encouraging message from Pastor John Bradshaw, a recipe, and more. And if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and would like to learn more about the Bible, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
Well, friends, that's all for today. But before we go, we have a Bible promise just for you. And it's found in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7.
It says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord."
So, friends, is your hope in God this morning? God promises that as we trust in Him and place all of our hope upon Him, we will be blessed, happy, and at peace. You know, what a promise that is. So place your trust and hope in Him today. And throughout all your circumstances, His promise is sure.
Amen.
Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we're so thankful to be able to have promises that we can stand on. They're like solid rock. We don't have to be afraid or believe that we could sink or we could the foundation will crumble before below our feet. No, we can know that your word is solid and we can put our whole heart and trust in you. So take us from this day, Lord, with courage and with strength. And we thank you so much in Jesus' name. Amen.